Welcome to Community in Code, the podcast about the people behind the commits. I'm here today with Raquel, a longtime WordPress community member, leader of the WordPress Phoenix community, founder, owner of Wonderland Curious. Raquel's been in the community for a long time, but if you aren't in the WordPress community or you don't know Raquel and you haven't seen her around, Raquel, welcome to the show, and why don't you introduce yourself?
Thank you. Yep, I'm Raquel, and I started in WordPress in 2010. I used to run an agency. It kind of became a WooCommerce agency, and then I exited the agency in like 2018, and then got hired with Elegant Themes for 6 years, and then here I am now running my own business. But through all of that, I've been like a big lover of WordPress and the community, and honestly, the idea to democratize publishing with this open source project. So, yeah, that's everything, all that's summarized everything into a sentence. Yeah,
the whole thing. I mean, you talked about it, but like, dig into a little bit about like what drew you specifically to WordPress. Did you look at other things, or were you looking at other things before, or was it just like you found the thing and then it sort of just clicked?
You know what? This is probably going to be the most different answer you could ever have to that question. And I would love to find out if anyone else has the same answer, because I did not come into WordPress as the implementer, designer, even coder. I came in as the partner in operations for the business I started with my ex-partner. So I didn't actually choose WordPress. In a way, you could say WordPress chose me.
There you go.
But I do remember, you know, a lot of stuff in the 2000s was built with Flash, you know, and there was like a lot of that, and just like HTML custom and yeah, Dreamweaver and all that. And I just remember my ex-partner at the time was like, there's this new thing called WordPress. I really want to get into it. And so that was honestly how I got into it, was he got into it. And then I followed suit. So I'm very curious if anyone else ever has a very similar answer.
I mean, I think that that's not super uncommon. I think that, okay. I mean, I think that for a lot of people, certainly a lot of my clients when I was freelancing got WordPress because that was the thing that I was building with, and that was the thing that I was advocating for. Talk about your company, Wonderland Curious. I know that you, under the guise perhaps of Wonderland Curious, organized PressConf last year, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, what is Wonderland Curious, and what is it that you do these days?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to try to not talk your ear off, but
you can talk my ear off. We've got a long time.
I love talking. So it was, I mean, honestly, it's a passion project that's been years in the making, and that came about at the perfect time in my life when the stars and planets aligned. I mean, that's the full truth. I've had it inside of me for a long time, but I didn't know it was there. And then when I did know it was there, I made a conscious choice to choose my kids before that. So I would say the seed was this idea to plan group travel for fun. So just this idea that you take 20 randos anywhere around the world and you unplug and you just hang out together. So the feels are kind of like adult summer camp. Or like when you went to summer camp as a kid and you just are forever bonded to the people you're with. And it's an experience that resets and rejuvenates. And that is a really hard model to monetize just in itself. And so while I was still being a full-time mom, I had kids when I was very young. So now they're all adults. And when my baby graduated high school, it was right around the time when the stars were aligning to bring back Pressnomics, which is what I now call it PressConf. And all of it just made sense to bring it together. So I already knew I was going to fight hard to bring what was Prestonomics back. And then my last child, my daughter, graduated from high school. And all of a sudden, I had an open calendar. And I have not had an open calendar in, I mean, God knows how long, because I've always was always a very involved mom and was convinced and still am that your children want your time more than anything else, more than any other resource you would give them. So then I, over that summer, which would have been now 2 years ago, no, a year ago, sorry, yeah, a year ago last summer, just strategized and came up with the plan, which was to like start my own company. And I LLC'd a year ago, August, and that company is Wonderland Curious. And under that company would be events. And so for hire, I am for hire for anyone's event, particularly tech events, whether big or small. Hmm. Then to bring under that PressConf, which is my event, but, you know, I'm still can be hired to contract for other events. And then to bring that travel aspect to it as well. So to still plan group travel, which I'm working on. I haven't released one yet. And so those are the two essential pillars to my business. So, and I love the Alice character from Lewis Carroll. Mm-hmm. And I very much identify with her, just like rough and tumble, but very girly. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I was very much that way, just like climbing trees in my dresses and getting dirty and getting into trouble, very curious and following my curiosity, which feels like at times you're getting into trouble, but actually you learn and grow so much, which is ultimately the story of Alice. And so I kind of wanted that to be part of my theme, but subtly. So yes, the name does show some of it, but my tagline is curiouser events and curiouser travel. So yeah, that's the business. And here I am finally doing what I've been wanting to do for so long.
That's awesome.
Made it happen.
I will admit that when I first heard the name, I definitely got like summer, like outdoor concert vibes, like, you know, like, you know, like the outdoor festival. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I definitely like it. It felt like a weekend in like Joshua Tree or something.
Yeah. And that is, honestly, I don't mind that because it is sort of whimsical. That was mm-hmm. very much Lewis Carroll, a little psychedelic, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but also there's room for changing and modifying and interpreting differently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I love the name and the story behind the name too. My partner and I have an Etsy shop we do like tie-dye stuff like over the summer when we have time, and we put it up on Etsy, and the name of our shop is Possible Octopus. And the reason for the name, besides being kind of a silly name, is because Aaron, my partner, really likes going to the beach and likes going tide pooling and stuff, and has said a couple times, well, sort of like a mantra, is like, whenever you go to the beach, there's always a possible octopus. There's probably one out there. You just don't see it. So the idea of like possible octopus was a cute, like, has nothing to do with tie-dye, but like is like, you know, a kind of like whimsical kind of name.
I love it.
Yeah. I will also, so full disclosure, the whole reason this podcast exists, and we'll talk about PressConf in a second, is in part a product of PressConf last year. There's basically two inception points that were sort of the key sort of points that made this podcast be. I had been thinking about doing a podcast again for a while, and I didn't really have, like, I wanted to do it, and I knew I wanted to just talk to people, and I knew I could like use my network and like go and reach out into different groups and grab people and I just wanted to have conversations, but I didn't know what the topic was going to be. And I didn't want to just have a tech podcast because that's boring. And I don't want to talk about tech all the time. And like, there's enough tech podcasts. There's not a lot that I can really do there that would be super innovative or interesting. But when I went to DrupalCon for the first time last year, there was a sticker, and I posted about it on like social and whatever, that says, and I have it on my water bottle, come for the code, stay for the community. And that resonated with me because that is why I've been in the WordPress community for 20 odd years. And I think that that's probably why you've been in the WordPress community for the same amount of time, right? And so to see this at an event, like expressing that sentiment at an event for a CMS that I have not been a part of, was really interesting. And it sort of lent itself to this theme that I sort of had, this sense that I had over the course of the week, that we're more similar with these other developer communities than we are different. And that sort of like fed into this seed for this idea. But it wasn't until PressConf, which was literally a month later, that it really was hammered home, because PressConf, which is the successor to Pressnomics, is not your typical event. I'll let you actually describe maybe perhaps what is different about PressConf, what's unique about PressConf.
Yeah, several key points, and I'm probably be all over the place with where I hit them. But it is purposely small. So I guess in comparison to a flagship event, so it's not thousands of people, it's literally a couple hundred people. And that's to keep it intimate. It is purposely one track. And with that one track, there are no recordings at all. And that is very intentional, because we really want each and every talk to come with it, to sort of drop the mic and to feel safe as the speaker to let it out and not have fear that things might get taken out of context, and, you know, and also just not have any fear that anything that will ever be recorded and used against them in the future. Now, of course, that's not to say that we now invite characters that would be someone who would take advantage of that, or be someone who you would just question, okay, that was not cool, you know. So there's definitely a balance there, and speakers are chosen based on trust. So it's like, we want that. We really want that vulnerability and privacy from the talks. So then therefore we're very careful about who we choose. At the same time, we're also open to giving people chances. So in that in itself is pretty different from other, I would say WordCamp or just conferences. I do love that asterisk that, you know, WordCamps very much give like first timers and all of that, where me and also PressConf very much believes that people can change and get better, grow together. And that's a real tough one, I think, for people to wrestle with, because that means you're giving people second chances who maybe have not been the best in the past. And that is one of my values. And I that is something that is different about PressConf, is that everybody's invited. We don't exclude anybody for the most part. I mean, hasn't happened, but if something were to happen where it's just like, okay, you just crossed a major human level line and okay, now you're out. It's the same reason why people would lose their rights in life if they get a felony or something like that.
Right.
But otherwise, PressConf really believes in the power of change. And that only happens if we want to individually. I can't change somebody, but I can change myself because I want to. And every bit of part of PressConf creates a space where change can happen. At least we cultivate it. And the other part that's different is we pretty much stay together the whole time, you know, start to finish. We're pretty much everybody's at the resort together, take breaks together. Lunch is a choose your own adventure, but everything's all right there, very walkable. And then every evening, you know, there's the opportunity that you're still together is so very high, because we're all in the same spot. Right. And so we're all hanging out in the hot tub together, or walking to a restaurant together.
Yep.
And then also it's not crazy different, but in our space, I think it is the last day is a fun day, is a field trip day where we give a couple of options, always golf, because we've got the golf bros and they'll lose their minds if they don't get their golf. And I say that with love, but And then this last year we did go-karts, which was a huge hit. So that is a day where we take everything that we've been stewing on and wrestling with over the past 2 days and just let it sit and have fun together. Because there's science behind when you kind of end some real like heavy hitting time emotionally and you just kind of let go and not think, it actually helps your brain process. Mm-hmm. And it's the same idea of when you're in the shower and all of a sudden all these ideas come flooding, right, you know, or for me, it would be like, even like, and maybe you too, like yoga or even like dancing. Cause I love to dance. And then you're like, remember that later. And then you don't,
yeah.
You know? And so that's the idea of that fourth day, is to just be with each other still, because now when you are together and an idea comes, you could just be like, bro, like, in like, and by bro, I mean that androgynously, let me be very clear, because I use that term very androgynously. But you know, like, I just got this idea, and like, and maybe you're both busy, but you're like, you say it and now both of you have it. So then that not only do you have a higher chance of remembering what you just thought of, right, but now you said it to someone else.
Right.
Those are pretty, yeah, the biggest differences. There's also just because it's, there's only one track over 2 days of conference days. There's not a lot of sessions, so we don't have a ton of speakers. And I think those are the biggest differences. Mm-hmm. And maybe I missed something. If you remember something, you could definitely say.
Well, I just wanted to say that, like, you know, that intentionality and that like the conscious decision to not record and what that means in terms of the types of talks that are given at PressCon versus any insert your own conference here, was another half of like what formulated into my brain about this show, which was that I also wanted to have real conversations. Like, that was the thing that clicked. Was there's the, you know, the come for the code, stay for the community. That was a big part of it. And then the thing that clicked was real conversations, real people. Yes, we all share this, like, you know, we're in the same communities, we're doing tech, whatever, but we're also people. And the people are far more interesting than, I think, the tech that we make and that we produce. And I'll much more happy to have conversations with humans than to just talk about the stuff that you're building. The stuff you're building is fine and cool and fun. And like, you know, that's all wonderful and interesting, but there's also like, there's other shows for that. There's other people that you can talk about the tech and get super deep into, like, you know, the layers of your infrastructural stack and whatever. And like, that's cool. But like, what made you the person that you are to build the product that you build?
Are you asking?
No, I mean, that's, I mean, I can, no, but that's just sort of like,
your inspiration.
Yeah.
The or foundation. Your why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah, you've been, tell us about, announced recently, we can get into this since it's moderately spicy, maybe.
I feel like I know where you're going.
Yeah, it was recently announced at WordCamp US a couple weeks ago that the next WordCamp US will be in Phoenix in the middle of August, which is awesome. I live in Salt Lake City. I have a pretty good idea of what Phoenix is like in August.
Sure.
And I wanted to actually focus more, less about the announcement of it being in Phoenix, because there's drama and we can talk about the drama around that too, but more importantly, what I think is valuable to share here for our purposes is, like, you said a lot after that about the Phoenix WordPress community and what makes it special. And like, post COVID, I know a lot of local WordPress communities, kind of my own in as well, kind of fell off the map. But it feels like you still have something going on in Phoenix. So talk about what makes the Phoenix WordPress community work and what makes it special and why you've kind of stuck it out for so long.
Yeah. I think there's a few things that would explain why and how. And really, I think ultimately it could be summed up by saying we are genuinely friends, the leadership team. And that I don't think happened on purpose. Like, we weren't like necessarily like, will you be my friend, you know, like back in, you know, when we're children, you know, but it just worked out that way. And I think incidentally, we have some passionate people on the leadership team. And when you got passionate and kind personalities, magic happens. Because you could also have passionate and not kind, and then you have a dictator, you know, like, and throughout the years, when you have that already to start, it attracts, you know, and it attracts others. So Carol Stambaugh, who was the one who got up and said what she said, the very last question of the keynote and Q&A. And I mean, that was happening because her, myself, and like two others on the Phoenix team were like texting nonstop, you know, when the announcement happened. And then, and I'm like, Carol, get up there. and I'm like, get up there. And the reason why is like, it needed to be her. She's the one who started the meetup in 2011, which she mentioned that. And Carol is, we've joked that she's like Mama WordPress, but she is just, I mean, she's a bundle of love. And there's just something about her that makes everybody better. And I'm probably going to start crying. and she's become like a big sister, like a mentor to me. And so I got in to, honestly, I was part of the like global community before I even got involved in the Phoenix community. Mm. Just because when I first got involved in WordPress, it was through WordCamps and traveling. And then I'm like, oh, but we at the time, WordCamp Phoenix was the biggest local WordCamp in the world at the time. And so I'm like, well, we got a really cool space and I need to be involved. And that was like my torch as like the owner of my old agency I was like, well, I'm going to be like face and community big time of our agency. And so I just like got involved and it's so easy to work with her. It's just so easy. And then, so then it just starts to snowball. Right. And then even I remember the last time where Camp Phoenix was ginormous was 2014. And then the leader stepped down and they needed a new leader. And they came up to me and they're like, would you do it? And I felt like a baby girl, you know? And I was like, what? No, I don't, I just couldn't do it. And then it took us having to skip 2015 for then myself and two others to just kind of be like, we're going to figure this out. And then we brought it back. And that was what I would call like second wave of the local WordPress Phoenix team. And every single time we almost met in person for every meeting, like almost every single time. And so, and we're all roughly, I guess, compatible and all come from different walks of life, different, you know, identities and all of that. But for some reason, we just liked each other. it just was like a match made in Elysium. I keep saying that because it's fun to say instead of heaven. But we just loved each other. We were like friends. We would hang out outside of WordPress. We celebrated each other's lives and wins. You know, we would go to each other's houses and break bread together. And all the while, we poured our blood, sweat, and tears into the community and into WordCamps. And then even that second wave, WordCamp Phoenix was still big. It was still like a 600 person event and still just incredible. And then also coincidentally, I didn't know that was my calling was events because I was just, that's a whole other story, but I didn't have any identity. I had no idea who I was other than at the time, wife and mom. And I was just, didn't know it at the time, but just naturally gifted in running events. And then Carol comes from an events background. So we were just like killing it. We were just like accidentally putting on such an amazing show. I mean, something equivalent to a flagship in the way it's ran mm-hmm. and the level. And so it just felt good. Every time we would end a WordCamp, we were energized. Sure, we were tired and sure we needed to like rest, but like it was like, okay, let's do it again. Where I, and I'm sure you've heard this, Chris, is like majority, whenever somebody ends a WordCamp, they're dead. They're mm-hmm. done. They're burnt out. They're just, they've had it. And we weren't doing that. We were just gaining even more momentum. And so then our teams would grow. And sure, there'd be people that would come in and out, but it was always this core. And actually through all of those years at the core was Carol and then myself. And then what I would say, it, part of the second wave was also Dave Ryan. And then now into that third wave, which what I would call post-pandemic, was myself, Dave Ryan, and Carol. And just, I don't know why, Chris, but we fought for it. We were going through it. I mean, now we're not celebrating each other's wins. We're suffering with each other. Hmm. There was cancer. There was divorce. There was depression. I don't think any single one of us had the like glory story of the pandemic where it was so nice. We got to reset. We didn't have to work. Like we're all hustling. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why we just were determined to keep the community alive. Maybe I do know why, but it just was this thing that we all had this desire to do it. And in TBH, there were times when maybe one of us was like, I don't got it. But then the other person was there to carry you. So it was really, truly a partnership. Mm-hmm. That idea where partnerships work, where when one is weak, the other is strong. And where there's deficiencies, someone comes up and fills the gap. And we were virtual just for a little, I mean, basically as long as we needed to be. Mm-hmm. Safely, you know, but as soon as we could, with whatever steps we would need to take, whether it was masks or social distancing, all that, we were in person as soon as we could. And I think too, a lot of our community, we love co-working spaces. And so then we were able to use our respective co-working spaces to meet. So then that made locations easy. Mm-hmm. And I think honestly, we've got some extroverts. I think that helps. Yeah, like I am. Carol definitely is. I don't know if she knows that. But really, truly, this idea of the actual definition of extroversion and introversion and that the way you process energy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So like when Carol and I are around others, we gain energy. And that's not to say, because an introvert very much can be outgoing, be mm-hmm. a blast, have fun, but they're little slowly draining, right? Mm-hmm. And then they need to go recharge on their own. Where mm-hmm. like I'm like just like now this like generator who's like all pumped up. And then now when I come back from a WordCamp, I need to make sure I have things scheduled because I'll go into a spiral stupor because I'm like, I need to be around others. Part of it might be a little codependent, which I don't like that part, but regardless. That helps bring the energy. And so now here we are, and our community has been at one time 5 meetups per month. They all had their own, like there was like a marketing, a business developer, general WordPress. There was a Divi meetup. There was Woo. We had so many, and every single one of them had their own leader. And so yes, that's like ebbed and flowed. But even right now, post-pandemic, in this time, Chris, you talked about, like right now, we're like probably the worst ever, especially in the States overall when it comes to at least community involvement. And so we are down to one meetup per month. But dear God, we have like fought for it. We have kept it. We sometimes fight like brothers and sisters and amongst like our leadership team, but we stay together. And I think that's the key. That's what makes a healthy partnership, right? Is that there's no promises. And I don't know where we get in this world where you're not going to feel ick or annoyance or even be upset with each other. But the people who overcome that, the people who push through that because of, I'm going to say it, love, you know, like this genuine idea that we can love each other in a capacity that's appropriate, you know, for whatever the relationship is. We've done that. Mm-hmm. We've done that as a community. And I don't even say that to sort of brag. I just say that to like, somehow we had to, we fought for it. And our next meetup is actually in 2 days. And there's been times too. And I say, I'm saying a lot, but it like, if anyone's listening and find it helpful, like we just have a meetup, even if we didn't plan, there's always somebody who could just off the cuff talk about WordPress. And anyone who knows how meetups work, you very much attract a beginner crowd. Mm-hmm. So like almost everybody could just go off and talk about something beginner for WordPress. But sometimes too, when we don't, we'll just have a social. We'll just get together at a restaurant and just hang out with each other. And honestly, after all this, I started by saying, I think it's because we're friends. But what we do with the entire community, not even leadership team, is we cultivate friendliness and warmth. And we invite, after every meetup, almost just about every meetup, we invite everyone out to come out with us and to like get break bread together, you know, or just even just hang out together. And I think that that helps. I think that when people come to our meetup, they feel welcomed. They feel cared for. And that's saying something, because there are times when even I showed up to a meetup and I'm like, I am not well. I am worthless right now. And I don't mean worthless like my self-worth, but meaning like to the event itself, because I'm going through life and the rest of the team has my back, you know, so I could be off, you know, still supporting, but also struggling, and they've got me. And it's vice versa as well. And so that was a lot. I feel like that segues into like our response to WordCamp US, but I'll let you, we could talk about that later if you got a structure.
No, I was just, I have no structure, never. I was going to try to highlight, I think, what Carol said, which I don't remember off the top of my head exactly, but for anyone who didn't watch, the video or wasn't there or isn't really in the WordPress community who might be catching this, it was something to the effect of, because the Phoenix community hadn't been contacted, consulted before the decision was made. No. And it was, so it was sort of a response to that and basically saying like, please, you know, we are here and we are passionate and we want to contribute and we want to be part of this. And Phoenix is a special place and there are special people and let's make this really good. And I thought that that was a really good thing to close on. And I also thought it was a pretty good thing to just call out because there was a point in time, which is maybe a peek behind the curtain for folks that are outside the WordPress community. There was a point in time when cities would petition for being the host of WordCamp US, and I think basically post COVID that kind of stopped, and cities were just unilaterally selected based on, I don't know, someone's criteria, not mine. So like that was a little bit of a like, okay, this was done. That's cool. But also come talk to us because, you know, we can help.
Well, and the I don't know if it's ironic. It might be coincidence, but we were one of those cities twice. We applied in 2014 and in 2018. And so we applied the inaugural year. And Philly was chosen, and we all kind of felt like, oh, that's perfect. It's WordCamp US. It's like the birthplace of, you know, America, you know, and it was great events. I loved it. And I'll never forget also it was one of the 2 years. I think it was the second year or the first year. I don't remember, but like walking up and there's Josh, I don't know how to say his last name, standing in what was the silhouette of Pantheon. Mm-hmm. And it was someone else. It was just them two, just both kind of like this, just smiling and not really knowing what to do, but standing in what was their booth. You know, but anyway, that total asterisk. Definitely don't have to go into that. But like, they were great events, and forever we still tell these stories. 10 years later, we still tell these stories. And then the next 2 years, it was Nashville, and then that year we applied. It was myself, Carol, and someone who moved out of Phoenix, but his name was Justin Tucker. And Carol, Justin, and I, oh my God, we just loved each other deeply. And we poured our blood, sweat, and tears and this to amazing application that was just over the top amazing. I mean, to this day, there's no doubt in my mind, our proposal was just the winner, but it wasn't chosen based on that. It was, I honestly don't technically know why, but they ended up choosing St. Louis. And so St. Louis got the 1 year, but then the pandemic hit. So then, So then post pandemic, they essentially stopped the call for cities and then chose, you know, San Diego, then DC, and then Portland based on other reasons. And apparently still with Phoenix. So, you know, so at first that was kind of our reaction, was one, just utter shock. And I was lucky enough to be sitting next to Mark Szymanski, who caught my very raw reaction on camera, which just cracked me up. But also we just, it's literally balancing both elation and also like my, what I said on the video, what the fuck, like, you know, and a little bit like, bro, serious, like we applied and all this and now, and so caught off guard, you know? But we can't, I think that's also what makes us an amazing community, is we are very forgiving. We are very gracious and we hold those values. But also I'm confident enough to say, I mean, nobody's perfect, but I think it affects our community as a whole. And I think that people know that and they see that, and that people actually do get better within our community. I see it within our own leadership team. Like the things that we say, I see us getting better. And so to that point, we're the best team to blindside, because we're like over here, like, yeah, that kind of sucked, but hey, but we're going to do our darndest to be a part of this and to help. And on a personal note, I've said this, I literally live in downtown Phoenix. Like right now I'm in downtown Phoenix. Like all the clips of that video is like my backyard. Mm-hmm. And because I live in a like 3-story townhouse, so I don't have a backyard. Like so like it's literally like where I go and hang out and play. So I'm like, personally, even compared to the rest of WordPress Phoenix, I'm like, guys, this is literally where I live. You guys coming, it's going to be like I'm hosting you. And I don't care what anyone says. I'm just naturally going to host because I love hosting anyway. So,
so my impression is that you are not necessarily as much of a code contributor, but you're definitely a contributor to the overall WordPress community. Talk about how being involved in the community and other types of contributions, how to value those things, because I feel like a lot of times, particularly in development communities, we get so caught up in contributor with a capital C, meaning somebody who actually makes commits to core. And I very strongly believe that there are many other ways to contribute to the ecosystem of a development community that are outside of contributing to the core nugget of software that is the thing around which we, you know, circumnavigate. Like there's all sorts of other things out there. To talk about how that affects you, or how your sort of perception of this contributing to the community in ways that don't involve code.
Sure. One, full disclosure, I do have a core contributor badge.
Great. I do too. It's probably a total of 5 lines of code that I've committed.
Okay. Well, mine is not even remotely close. It's because I helped when it last update, almost a year ago, there were some problems with Divi and I was still working for Elegant Themes. I like was there as the mediator helping everyone solve it as fast as possible. So somebody gave me props and I'm like, yay.
I got props for in WordPress 6.4 for advocating to take the font manager out of WordPress because of the way it would have been implemented, because it wouldn't work on Pantheon as designed at first. So like I got props for not doing a thing.
Not nice. I'm like, however you get it. Like I'm just cracking up at that. But I think that it goes back to what I was referring to earlier, and that there is this belief in this project that supersedes code, because it really isn't about the code. It is about the community. At the end of the day, even those who contribute to the code, even the dedicated core contributors, why do we stay, you know? And this has been the why in humanity for so long, yet it never fails that we get away from it. You know, I just crack up. I just think about like the early 2000s of Starbs. I worked for Starbs for 5 years in the early 2000s, and I called it the golden years. Like, we still had to learn to be a barista. I still had to learn how to pull a shot, how to gauge the outside temperature and humidity to make sure you get that perfect shot, where now it's all a machine and you know, whatever. But like, everything was about being the third space. You know, they wanted Starbucks to be the third space. They wanted people to come, not because of the coffee, but because of the people. And so somehow maybe that was like the start of it for me. And then I'm ex-evangelical now, but I come from an evangelical world, and all the church life I was a part of and communities were bullshit. Like, they were like peacocking, and it was the who's who. And it was like, probably more like closed software, where you go to some event and you can't get into the cliques, you know, because, and figuratively and literally, you know, people would be circled up with their backs, you know, so then you're not welcoming. And that was what I was used to. So I'm used to going to these church conferences, and full disclosure, not every church community is like that. But the one I was a part of was a very rock star vibe, and just felt like I couldn't ever get in. And here's like me, who's like a very friendly person, and I like people. Like, I'm one of those who loves humans. Like, people like, I don't like dogs. I mean, I don't like humans. I love dogs. And I'm over here like, I like dogs and I love humans, you know? And yet I just felt like I was never good enough in these church communities. Then I go to WordCamp San Diego 2012, and I'm like, my mind is blown. Just absolutely blown, because so many people kept coming up to me just wanting to get to know me, even on a simple introduction level, for no reason at all, just because I was there. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I was just flabbergasted, and I was beaming. I remember leaving that just like, I couldn't stop smiling. I was just like, why do I feel so good? And I just wanted more. I wanted more. And I think that's honestly the effect that this open source project has on people, because one, it is a very noble thing to fight for. The why of the project still amazes me, you know, to democratize publishing. Like, it still is so, like, the idea behind open source is really beautiful. I mean, in every sense, and open source doesn't just apply necessarily to code. It applies to science, you know, it applies to like research, and to this idea that we give it to everybody. Like, it baffles my brain how, and I don't mean to take it places, maybe I do, but like, how capitalism could come in and change that. And I am not anti-capitalism, but I am anti what capitalism is today. And it takes away. So I'm going to fight this fight for this project. And yeah, no, this is not my world. I mean, yes, in high school, I loved science and math, but I also was like this crazy performing artist. And here I am in this community, and my gift is human connection and events. And yet I found my place. So this is a lot to say, but essentially my contributions to the community have been that.
Yeah.
Have been very much like very active in planning WordCamps and planning meetups and being involved with Contributor Day and even some of the community summits that have happened over the past decade. And that really is truly contributing to this project. And when you think about it, I would say it's very high up there, community, because we wouldn't be here without the code. And the code is absolutely important. And I don't think anyone's taken away from that. But the people who are working on the code together need to get along. And, you know, and have a safe space and feel welcome, because we, I think, ended up ignoring feelings. And I think over time society has done this, but it never takes away from the fact of how important it actually is. And yeah, we need to subdue our feelings. And yeah, there's times our feelings lie to us, but on the basis of feelings is why we do anything and everything. And if I don't feel welcome, I'm not going to be part of a community. I don't care how good the code is. I'm not going to be part of it. So, I mean, ultimately, that has really been like mainly where I've contributed, is all over the up and down, inside and out, is basically the human contribution to WordPress. And it is truly because I believe in it. I do believe in WordPress. I do believe in owning your own data. I have this vision. I haven't figured it out yet, but how to bring it to Gen Z and help Gen Z understand that this is important to our mm-hmm. world, especially the more and more we're giving ourselves away, especially with AI. And we need to have a place where it's ours. And the best way I know how to contribute to that is through human connection. And I don't know if that was fully answering your question, but that is how I contribute. And if that gives anyone else any inspiration or any ideas, then there it is.
You're getting ready for PressConf 2026. Announcement's been made. Tickets are available, I think. Pre-order or something. Yeah, tickets are available. Working on event logistics, I'm sure. Talk about what you're doing in planning for 2026 as much as you can, or as much as you're willing to, and what people can expect to find at PressConf 2026.
Yeah, so early bird tickets, we call them startup. Startup tickets are on sale right now, and they last to the end of the month. And we are keeping a lot of it the same in that still smaller and intimate, and still in the same place, Tempe Mission Palms. And we are right now very much in the speaker and sponsor stage of planning the conference. So we reverse engineer speakers. You know, we don't do a call for speakers and submit your talk. Most of the speakers come because we get some idea, and then we hang out with somebody and we're like, we want you to speak, and let's just all brainstorm some ideas. Mm-hmm. And we want all of these topics to sort of fit that vibe of, you know, being raw and vulnerable from the stage, sharing from your heart, also sharing from your knowledge and your intellect. There's only 11 sessions, we think. That could change. But right now, we also reverse engineered it by planning our entire schedule first and then filling, you know. And so it's a lot of strategery. I say that word all the time. It just makes me laugh. But we had to be real strategic with it. So some speakers actually, and it even happened last year, very few have like just reached out. And, you know, and if it fits, then it works. And that did happen a couple times last year and probably this year as well. So that's like the big thing right now. I do have a team, and actually Carol is my speaker coordinator, but a lot of it's me on every single team, and not because of micromanaging, but because it is my business, and I'm the one at the end of the day who has to, like, you know, make all this happen, and everyone else is still running their businesses as well. So we're very much in that part, and that one's going to take a while. It's not easy. I would say it's even harder because there's not a lot of sessions, one, and every single one of those got to drop the mic, mm-hmm. you know? And we also, I won't share too much about this part yet. Not that, only because we're still figuring it out, but I'm very open. I love to share, but we're figuring out our theme mm-hmm. for this year. We end up kind of organically coming up with a theme. And last year it ended up being like, let's get better together, which is very, I crack up because I am an overgrown child, and people hear that and it probably sounds like some 90s kid something, which, let's just be honest, it kind of is. But it was really needed, you know, in the midst of all the drama. And I just really was so heavy on my heart to provide a space where everyone could come mm-hmm. and feel welcome. All parties in, you know, in the WordPress space.
Right.
This year, it's a little different. Not that we're not still in the middle of some of the drama, or it's still playing itself out, but... Mm-hmm. But now we're trying to understand and navigate how to move forward and get better, you know? So yes, we were like, let's get better together. Okay. Now next year it's like, now how are we doing that?
Right.
You know, what does that look like? So there's some of a theme there that we're still figuring out. And then, we're actually at WordCamp US, we're having lots of meetings with potential sponsors. So we're really excited. Me and Adam Weeks, he's my sponsor guy, we are like revamping and making it even more valuable for our sponsors, and getting really clear on how to provide value for all the sponsors. And so I'm honestly really, really excited. But those are the two biggest things right now that has taken up all of my life currently.
Well, thank you so much, Raquel, for coming on the show. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm pretty much anywhere, some variation of Raquel Carina. And if people are in WordPress, I'm sure I'll pop up because I'm sure we have mutual, you know, followers and friends and all that. And email, it's, you could do Raquel at WonderlandCurious.com. And I'm on almost every WordPress Slack instance, and I am at Raquel, every single one of them. So it's pretty easy.
Yeah. That seems legit. All right. Well, thanks again for coming on. Thanks for everyone tuning into this episode, and we'll see you on the internet.